What a beautiful song. Thank you so much, Linda. Well, good morning, Bridge Church. I hope you're doing well today. Over the last 4 months, we have seen the impact of COVID-19 ravage across our nation and right across the globe as well. Many lives have been affected, and to date, nearly 44,000 people have died in the UK alone. And alone is quite an apt word, really, because many family have not been able to be present at the death of their loved one or even at the burial as well. The implications of this disease are yet to be seen as the economic and social situation plays out. Just as COVID-19 victims have struggled to breathe, we've heard another cry as well at this time. And the cry has been this: I can't breathe. And those words were uttered by George Floyd in his final moments. It was not just a physical cry for help. It's come to represent the cry, the heart cry of Black people over hundreds of years as they have faced racism and injustice and prejudice, where the knee of oppression has been pressed down on the neck, choking out opportunity and value and acceptance and hope. No wonder we've seen many people take to the streets around the world in protest, defiantly calling an end to this injustice and seeking to effect change. For because when Black lives matter, then all lives will matter. Sadly, we've seen these protests often infiltrated by those who would do harm and damage to the integrity of the cause. Now, when I say that Black lives matter, does that fly in the face of the gospel? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. The gospel is for everyone, regardless of gender, regardless of color, regardless of culture. Jesus said in Mark 16, verse 15, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. John 3:16, Jesus said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him should not die, but have everlasting life. John 1:12, to all who would receive him, who believed in his name, to them he gave the right to become the children of God. So whatever heritage you come from, whatever your condition or your circumstances are today, whether you feel unworthy or undervalued, or whether you feel like you've got it all together, can I tell you that God loves you unconditionally and has made it possible for you to know him and to have relationship with him for all eternity? But let's just come back to the issue of racism. I believe that God is a God of love and justice, that mankind has been made in the image of God. There is something of the likeness of God in you. His breath is in you, whoever you are. And when I understand that, it can only inform me that everyone is precious to God, and that we all stand equal before him. It is sin and selfishness and pride and greed and arrogance and control and the work of the devil that has caused racism and prejudice in our world. And it has always been there. And right now, I believe that God is once again shining a light upon racism in our world, but also in the church. And it's as though he's saying, what are you going to do about it? Black lives matter. And when I say that, it's not about a political affiliation to an organization, as there are many agendas and policies that I don't agree with the hashtag Black Lives Matter movement. What I'm saying is that it is the cause that Black Lives Matter, which is the key thing. For some of you listening today, you may be still saying, well, yeah, but all lives matter, Tim. All lives matter. And that is true. But right now, the spotlight is on this issue of racism. I have three children and I love them all equally. But if one of them has an accident or is attacked, where is my focus going to be? Similarly, with a family with maybe a child who has long-term challenges, health issues, physical disability, all the siblings are important in that family, but that child will need greater time and investment of resources. Perhaps your response to this is whole thing is you've watched the news unfold and you've seen the images is one of, well, I'm not a racist, I'm a Christian. I go to church, or I don't indulge in racist behavior, or I've got friends who are black or people of color. So what is this to do with me? I think there are many people in the world and in the church who would say these things and would justify this position in their minds. But what is being asked of me and you right now, however we feel, right now the black community is asking us not to be defensive, not to be fragile, but to listen and to hear the cry, to seek to understand, to ask questions and to learn. My mum had Parkinson's for 17 years before she passed away, and often she would like us to read an article or a pamphlet that she'd found about the disease. What she wanted was for us to understand not just the physical aspects of what she was going through. We could see those, they were obvious, but she wanted us to understand how it made her feel, what emotions it stirred up, the panic, the fear, the lack of control, the independence of which she felt that she had been robbed of, the why behind the what of her responses. You see, her mind was still sharp and active, but it was trapped inside a body that progressively wouldn't allow her to stand or to move forward. And ultimately, this disease would stop all movement altogether. Now, a very different challenge to that of racism, but some interesting parallels. We need to listen. We need to understand. We need to learn. This is what is being asked of us right now. If we're not thinking and responding in this way, then it's all too easy to say things like, well, the slave trade was all in the past. Why don't we just move on? The reality is that although slavery was abolished in 1833, the culture of white supremacy was already established and has become ingrained, whether we like it or not. It has become a mindset, a stronghold that has held back and impaired the lives and opportunities of black people for the last 400 years. And it's still in existence today. It is systemic in all aspects of society, and it shows itself in unfairness, not least that back when slavery was abolished, that the slave owners were the ones who were compensated for their loss, not the victims of slavery. And that compensation has only just finished being paid out in 2015. In more recent times, the unfairness and the injustice of stop and search, prison sentencing, the impairment of job opportunities and careers and positions of power and economic development. Now, that's not to say that black people have not broken through and risen up to positions of influence in society. And many have. And these are to be celebrated, of course, for the value that has been added to our society through them. But why shouldn't that be the norm? So does that mean to say that white people don't have it tough too? Of course they do. Maybe as a white person, you're going through massive challenges today, and we want to stand with you in that. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you. We want to help you in whatever way we can. But let me say this, the difference is that the factors that contribute to your challenge are not brought about by the color of your skin. You see, we have an unconscious bias that blinds us to the fact that we have what's known as white privilege, that we are ahead in the race simply because of the fact that we are white. That is unfair. In some ways, we may not have had control over that. However, we now have to respond in a way that causes us to take responsibility for this. So what I believe God is calling us to is a place of examining our hearts. David said this in Psalm 139, verse 24. See if there be any wicked way or offensive way in me. In other words, here's the things I know that I've done wrong, God, but reveal the areas that I can't see that are wrong in your sight as well. Not just the things that I have done wrong, but the good that I should have done that I didn't do. Like keeping quiet, like not speaking up or speaking out. You know, Peter in the Bible had to come to a place in his life where God had to expose his kind of racist attitude, I guess. All his life had been spent in Jewish culture and keeping oneself free from the Gentiles. But now in Acts chapter 10, God was giving him a vision about eating things that were unclean, okay? In other words, mixing with and bringing the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter couldn't understand it, but later, as the Lord leads him to the house of a guy called Cornelius, a Roman centurion, he explains that doing so is not in his nature. In fact, even the law forbade him to visit this man. But you know what? Perhaps Peter thought back to his time with Jesus, where one day, and you can read this story in John chapter 4, Jesus said, we need to go through Samaria. Actually, they didn't in terms of where they were going, but they did because the Father was leading Jesus into a situation that he cared so deeply about. Jesus was led by his Father to speak with a woman at a well in Samaria. Now, firstly, that was a no-no because you didn't speak to a woman. And secondly, she was a Samaritan woman at that. Samaritans being the sworn enemies of the Jews. But Jesus wanted to minister to this woman. Such love and grace and a willingness to cross the cultural and social divide. Maybe Peter thought then about the story that Jesus had told him and some of the other disciples one day when this guy comes up to Jesus and asks him about eternal life. How do I gain it? And Jesus said, well, it's all about loving God with every part of your being, but also it's about loving your neighbor as yourself. Again, you can read the story in Luke 10, 25 to 34. And Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And he makes the Samaritan the hero, not the Jew, who saw someone who was different to themselves, but had a need in their life, and he helped them nonetheless. So Peter had to look at both his unconscious and his conscious bias when it came to race and prejudice, and recognize that there was grace for every race. For us, we know that that's true, that the gospel is for everyone. We haven't had to get over that. We understand that the gospel is for all mankind. The issue for us is about how we then continue to live out a life of justice in a world full of injustice and prejudice. So what can I do in response to all of this? Well, the story of the Good Samaritan, it says that on seeing the man lying on the side of the road, robbed, beaten, half dead, it says that he came to where the man was. He saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him. He came to where the man was, he saw him, he had compassion on him, and he went to him. So here's four things I just want to share before I close. The first thing is this: we need to humble ourselves. We need to humble ourselves. Micah 6, verse 8 says this: "He has showed you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." Focusing on the issue in hand, when we recognize that because of unconscious bias or white privilege, we have been complicit in perpetuating racism, we can suddenly feel, now that we understand, we can suddenly feel that we've got to do something about that. We need to do something to counter that behavior. But actually, the best doing comes out of being. We can only really do the first part of the verse if we're doing the last part of the verse. We can only really act justly if we are walking humbly. When I walk humbly, it means that I leave pride behind and I recognize that I am not more important, more valuable, more worthy, more entitled than anyone else. Instead, I become angry at the injustice that people go through because of their culture, because of their postcode, because of their color, because of their circumstances, or because of their condition. I need to humble myself. Number two, I need to educate myself, okay? Read up about the slave trade. Watch some films, watch some documentaries. There's plenty going around right now. There are many articles and posts that Black Christian leaders are making available, especially so that you can discover more about what it means to face racism and how it affects the minds and the emotions of those who live under that oppression. Ask questions, have conversations. This all demonstrates a willingness to see the need and to cross the road and to go to where the broken person actually is. The third thing is this: act justly. Act justly. So walk humbly, educate yourself, now act justly. Don't just post Black Lives Matter on Instagram. Or whatever the message may be. Live it out. Live out that lifestyle of justice. Join that march. Shut down that racist conversation or that racist joke at work. Speak up. Defend. Speak out wherever you can. Invest in a way that brings greater opportunity for someone who has not had a fair start in life, not just in the needs of Black people over there in Africa, where it doesn't affect me as much, but also here in the UK as well. You see, we have to tell a different story in order to create a different culture, one of equality, of equity, of justice, and of acceptance. Fourth thing is this: ask God to soften your heart. Earlier, we heard Linda's beautiful song, didn't we? "I set my heart on you, Lord." And there was that line, "Fill me with compassion. Let me be a part of your great plan." If you have received that grace and mercy, well, now it's your responsibility. It's my responsibility. Out of a heart that is full of love for God, to extend that grace, that compassion, that justice, that mercy to others as well. In Revelation 7 verse 9, we see something of John's vision of heaven. It says this: "After this, I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and in front of the Lamb. They cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" I don't know about you, but I want to be part of his great plan. And I want to spend my life in sharing that good news for everyone. I don't want there to be anything in me that differentiates or judges or looks down or prefers as I not only preach this message, but I seek to work it out in my life as well. Let's pray together, shall we? Father, I want to thank you for your word. Thank you that you are a God who loves everyone. And God, it must break your heart when you see the poor, the marginalized, those of a different skin color, those who are different in some way, who perhaps don't fit in. God, thank you that your good news and your grace is for everyone. And I pray, Lord, that if there is any attitude, anything in my heart, and together as a church in our hearts, in our lives, that would differentiate or judge or look down on others because of their difference, then I pray in Jesus' name you would forgive us. Forgive our pride. Forgive our arrogance, I pray. And help us to remember that we all stand equal at the foot of the cross. Lord, would you speak into our hearts as we examine ourselves? Would you examine us and reveal to us anything that is unworthy of you? Amen. Maybe you're listening today and you don't know the Lord Jesus as your Savior and as your friend. Perhaps you've tuned in and you just wanted to be in a church service, and maybe the message has been a little bit different today. We've dealt with one particular thing, and actually we can't deal with this issue because it's a massive issue, and maybe we need just to spend some more time on this. But it is that God loves you so much, and he cares for you. He died for you 2,000 years ago on a cross. He paid the price for your sins so that you could be free, so that you could know Jesus and be right with God. Well, I want to pray for you as well. If this is a prayer that you can make your own, then why not pray it even as I say it this morning? And why not write in and just let us know that you've prayed that prayer. Here's the prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. Thank you for taking my punishment. I confess that I have sinned, and I'm sorry that I have been wrong. Please forgive me, Lord Jesus. Help me to turn away from living life for myself and live it for you. Come into my life, be Lord of my life, and fill me with your Holy Spirit, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, you meant that in your heart, you are now a new creation. The old is gone and the new has come. We'd love to hear from you so that we can encourage you, pray for you, send you a Bible, and help you in your new relationship with the Lord Jesus. Thank you so much for listening this morning.